Welcome to TTM Cast, your sports collectibles podcast.
Sponsored by CGC Cards, card grading all in one place. CGC Cards is devoted to expert grading of collectible cards, including TCGs, sports cards, and non-sports cards.
Sponsored by Collects, the free app for scanning and valuing your cards. Use the app to build your collection and buy and sell with other collectors. Turn the hobby into your side hustle. And by SportsCollectorsDaily.com. If it happens in the hobby, you'll find it on SportsCollectorsDaily.com. And sponsored by GemRate.com. The latest grading statistic from the four major grading companies is just a click away. Visit GemRate.com. It's free.
And now, here's our host, Drew Pelto.
Hello, everybody. Coming to you once again here with TTM Cast, your sports collectibles podcast. We're going to talk all things related to TTM, cards, autographs, sports collecting, and a whole lot of other stuff. Whatever comes to mind, really. We'll throw it in there. This is season 6, episode number 9. This is on March 16th of 2024. And you're listening to a nationally ranked sports collectibles podcast. I am Drew Pelto, coming to you from a very rainy North Texas. Joined, of course, as always, by my co-host, Troy Rutter, coming to us from Iowa. Troy, how are things going up there?
Doing pretty good. Kind of a cold, wet day, but no rain. We had that a couple days ago, so glad that's over. But, you know, at work, they always say, oh, you know, we need the rain. But I'm always like, I'd rather have the sunshine myself.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm valuing it when I get it right now, because I know in August, when it's 110 degrees and I can't get below 80 in my apartment, I'm going to sit back and look at this and go, yeah, I liked when it was 50 and rainy. So, yeah. Troy, tell listeners a little bit about where they can find you online, since you're pretty active on several areas.
Yeah, pretty much on every social media place around, I guess, on Facebook. It's TTM, or Through the Mail Autograph Collecting, TTM Troy. It's kind of a long one, I guess. But on YouTube, it's just TTM Autograph, and Instagram, same thing, TTM Autograph. And if you happen to get to Twitter, it's just my name, T-R-U-T-T-E-R. And unfortunately, I was just getting into TikTok, and now there's all that brouhaha about maybe canceling it. So I put it off selling it. So I put it off as long as I could, and I was kind of dipping my toes in it a little bit. Now I'm like, well, wow. So it's just TTM Autograph over there if you want to be one of my first followers over on TikTok there.
And then they'll cut it off in a week there. And yeah, it's hopefully not, though. Hopefully get a few in there and be able to keep going with it. So there you go.
Yeah, there's actually a lot. You know, I wish I was over there more. It's hard enough to watch all the videos over on YouTube weekly, or even every 2 weeks whenever you get a chance. But there's a lot of TTM content over there. And it's really it's a different feel, but, you know, give it a shot.
Definitely. I never got into TikTok much. I might have to check it out, because I know Jeff was always mentioning TikTok TTMers. You're mentioning them now. So it's like, all right, if we get to where it's able to stick around for longer, I might have to go and check that out now just for that. So there you go. Make sure you give Troy a follow if you haven't already. if you want to follow us on there for the entire show, it's CastTTM on Twitter, TTM Cast pretty much everywhere else. And you can follow me as DFW Graffer just about anywhere that social media may happen to go. So, big week in sports news here, of course, with the NFL free agency is getting underway. So, I don't know if, have you seen any big signings for any of the teams you follow at all?
I have been kind of ignoring the news this week, so I haven't seen anything on my end. What about you?
A little bit. I mean, the Browns have lost, I think they said they lost 5 players and brought in 5 players, but Jerry Jeudy being the big one they got in there. They trade, what, I think like 5th and 6th round pick to get him. So hopefully they can get him straightened out and have a nice 1-2 punch there with Amari Cooper. And backup quarterback, they let Joe Flacco go after his 1 year with a great big thank you for his comeback player of the year award there. But brought in, what's his name, Winston there. That's a former number one overall pick, former Heisman winner that has had his moments in the NFL, but just hasn't been able to keep it consistent. I mean, he had, what, a year of like 35 touchdowns, but 32 interceptions to go along with it. So hopefully they can get him straightened out. Hopefully he can be at least a quality backup there. So they've at least got that, which, I mean, with Deshaun Watson, you need a quality backup. So glad to get him.
Sounds good.
Yep. Let's see here. Australian Football League season has kicked off this week. Unfortunately, my North Melbourne Kangaroos got it straight up handed to them by about 40 points here in their first game, but kind of to be expected. I think they won two games all of last year. And over in baseball, you've got, Blake Snell. Everybody's sitting there going, you know, why has this guy signed yet? And he's still out there. And yet what happens? San Diego decides to go and acquire Dylan Cease instead. So that's been the big baseball news here this last couple of days. I know you're in the Midwest there, so I don't think you follow the White Sox quite as much as some of the other teams there. But any thoughts come from people around there? Any White Sox fans you know that their thoughts on it or anything like that, or even your own thoughts on it?
Yeah, we're pretty much Twins or Cubs here in in Central Iowa. So I haven't really seen anything or heard from people that have been discussing that lately. But
yeah, it's one of those moves that it's like I knew it was coming, but I didn't know quite where. Because, I mean, they talk about the Rangers possibly being in on him. They talk about the Yankees possibly being in. And no, it's San Diego putting together a whole boatload of prospects for him. And I think it's a nice pickup for them. I mean, one of the big guys they got in the Juan Soto trade was one of the ones that went in there. But still, I mean, to get Michael King and Michael King and Dylan Cease, that's going to be two of your big 4-year rotation there in exchange for Juan Soto. That's been a pretty profitable trade right there for San Diego.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if it pays off. Definitely, I used to go down to San Diego and see a couple games here and now and then when I was in LA. So I followed them a little bit. My friend's Stacey Schaefer is a big fan of them as well. So.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Okay. All right. I was going to say, I mean, San Diego's a team that I've expected to have a big season here at some point, and just they run. It seems like somebody else always comes out of the West. I mean, you had the Dodgers the last couple of years. You had a couple of great years out of the Giants there that have kind of pushed them to second and third place team there, which it really sucks. I mean, you look at that lineup on paper, and they should be just absolute world beaters, and just bad luck, I guess, so far for them.
Yeah, I think the last time I followed the Padres was, I think, when I got my Mark McGwire's signed at spring training through the mail, and wow. Then I was like, okay, I'm done.
yep. That's what I missed out on. I still need him on an $88 Diamond King. Yep.
There you go. Hey, did you see any of the news about the tennis match with all the bees on the camera this past week?
I heard someone got a swarm of bees at a tennis match, but I didn't know the specifics there at all. I've seen stuff like that happen on baseball fields before. Like, they all congregate right around. It's been a lot around, like, cameras and stuff, especially security cameras, and they have to call in the beekeeper to get them removed and everything. But no, I didn't know what had caused that or anything, or didn't see any specifics besides that there's a big swarm going on there.
Yeah, it was at the Indian Wells quarterfinal, and I guess they swarmed the floating camera deal, whatever you call that. I forget what you call that. But a queen just kind of landed on there, and it chaos ensued. Nature took over for a little bit, and now we have to get a TTM from the guy who came and vacuumed up the bees. That's my next. That's one of my next prospects there to get him, because I like doing some of the weird pop culture type things that people don't normally do. So
I think Allen Ginter need to put a card out of him for sure. Absolutely. I mean, they've got everybody else. Why not the bee guy?
And like a scratch and sniff honey card or something like that.
Hey, perfect. Yeah, one of one variation with that on it. I like it. Yeah. Well, not a whole lot going on in my world this week when it comes to any collectibles at all. I did go out to a UFL practice today, the new United Football League. It's basically the XFL and USFL combining forces into one. Unfortunately, they didn't really have great access to the players at all. I was able to get a few guys to sign, at least, fortunately, including quarterback Luis Perez and Markel Lee, who was linebacker for the Raiders for a couple of years. So a couple guys with some names that somebody out there might know a bit there based on that. But a couple other guys have just been kind of, you know, the UFL, XFL kind of level guys too, but at least got something done, which, I mean, that's better than going home empty handed there. Hopefully we'll be writing out a bunch of TTMs soon. And later this week, I'm going to go and head out to a Stars game. Got tickets for the Stars and Penguins. So I'm a big Penguins fan, of course, and they're not having the greatest season, but hopefully we'll see what I can do. I can at least see them play, and I'm hoping maybe they'll have a practice here in Dallas, and I might have a chance at getting out there, but we'll see what happens. Troy, any big stuff going on? You talked about, you mentioned that you got another card in there for your set, I believe.
Yeah, it's kind of, so last show I talked about a PSA George Brett that I had acquired for the set, for the 1991 Donruss set, and there was a, of course, there's like three cards of him in the set that you need, or maybe even four. And all those big guys getting four of their cards is going to be pretty tough. But I meant, I managed to find, it was actually mislabeled for a night. It was mislabeled as 1990 Donruss. And I found another George Brett. And so I bid on it. It's not authenticated, but I was like, well, it looks okay. And I managed to get that one for like $16. And so I figured even if I send it off and it's, you know, if it's real, that's a heck of a deal. And if it's not, it's only about $16 and not $100. So that was my big acquisition. And it's stuck in the postal mail right now. It's out there somewhere. And I just hope it's not sent. It was a consignment or a, when someone, it was some kind of a consignment place. And so I'm hoping they don't send it in just a plain white envelope.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But we'll see, especially if it keeps raining. And, you know, the last thing I want is a We Care envelope on that one. So looking forward to finally getting that one in. And then, I don't know, I have a bunch of stuff that I could send out for authentication. And hopefully everything pans out. It looks okay. It looks okay. And for $16, why not?
Yeah, exactly. It's worth a try at that price. It's kind of funny because you mentioned, you know, having the wrong year on there. I've noticed a lot of people tend to do that on Donruss cards, especially with Diamond Kings. And with Diamond Kings, they have, it's because the copyright line on them is from the year before. And I think they put the copyright line with the year the art itself was made rather than the year the card was produced. So yeah, you see like people listing a 1984 as an 83 and things like that.
Yeah, I see a lot of people listing 92s as 91s, probably for the same reason. Yeah.
Yeah. So, never know what you can find just by, you know, keep a little bit of a wider eye out sometimes on when it comes to things like that. I know I've had to a few times.
And then there are people that kind of stuff the keywords with every year, and that doesn't help either.
But. Yeah, exactly. It might be 89. It might be 94. We're just going to throw every year in between in there. Why not? Well, we got a great show for you here this week. We've got Collector's Corner for our interview segment, where I talk to Jason Hines. He's a collector out of Florida. I've made a few deals with him in the past, and he's got some really cool stuff that he collects. We want to talk a little bit about that. I want to remind everybody, too, for next week's interview, to make sure you get your items in soon. If you want Les Wolf to make any appraisals, any judgments on authentication, anything like that, please send them to us with your photos of it, with descriptions, ttmcast@yahoo.com. We'll get those over to Les. We'll talk about them on next week's show. Of course, for this week's show, we have all of our regular segments. Baker's Dozen, covering all the news of sports collectibles. Mentioned the Collector's Corner interview with Jason Hines will be coming up after that. Making the Grade, covering all things about grading in the hobby. Got our stamp of approval, where Troy and I give our thumbs up about just about anything. You never know what you're going to get out of us. It might be something food related. It might be something sports related. It might be completely off the wall. So you never know. You'll see, though, what we come up with for this week. We've got the Vern Rap Minute, covering deaths in the world of sports, celebrity, music, movies, politics, anybody that you might consider TTMing. If they have passed away, we're going to let you know about it. And the main reason why we all are here, we finish it off with our TTM returns. Troy mentioned a minute ago, but let everyone know once again, what's the best way to be able to contact us? Any questions, comments, concerns, ideas, anything that you got?
Yeah, drop us an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com.
Yeah. And if you want to contact me directly, it's dfwgraffer@gmail.com. And something I was thinking about, since I've taken over the show here over the last, 3 months now, I have not done any giveaways. I know Jeff was always big on, you know, having giveaways and stuff like that. I think I might have to change that here in the next couple of weeks. I mean, see what I've got some extras of, and see what I can give away here coming up soon.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So I think that about does it for our intro here, and let's go ahead and move right on into Baker's Dozen.
Baker's Dozen, sponsored by SportsCollectorsDaily.com.
Smart collectors turn to Sports Collectors Daily to stay up to date. From new releases to incredible collections hitting the auction block, news from inside the business of sports collectibles, and much more, Sports Collectors Daily has it, all with no subscription cost. SC Daily also delivers a live look at the most watched sports card auctions on eBay for every sport. Sign up to get the headlines in your email for free, or just visit the website whenever you like. With 16,000 stories in the archive going back 16 years, there is always plenty to read at SportsCollectorsDaily.com.
Baker's Dozen is a news summary here from the previous week in sports collectibles. Anything that's been going on, we try to keep you updated on all of that news. I want to remind you that we are still working with Collects. That is C-O-L-L-X. They are in your app store. Download them, and great way to find out info on card prices, even do some buying and selling of your own through there as well. You can get a $10 coupon for their marketplace. Just send us your Collects name and your email address. We'll get those passed on to them, and you should get a $10 coupon for spending in their marketplace. I know I got mine a while back. I've used it all. It's been really great working through there. Five Star Dynasty is another thing we have been advertising here lately. It is a card game, a collectible card game at that. And my friend Amir Kim El Malawani has come up with that one. It's a college sports-related card game. And he's got an Instagram bonus for listeners of TTM Cast. If you make a purchase of their game sets, you can find those at 5stardynasty.com. Follow on Instagram at 5stardynastygame and shoot them a message. Let them know that you're a TTM Cast listener, that you bought one of their sets, and they may have a bonus to throw in there for you as well. So go and check that out if you're a college sports fan. And of course, a reminder once again to check out my weekly article on Sports Collectors Daily. This week I talk about TTMs and also a little bit about the pros and cons of different systems of setting up your cards for in-person graphing. Because there's a lot of different ways to organize everything. And I've tried a lot, I've seen a lot, and I'm always looking for new ideas as well. So I talk a little bit about those, and I'm actually going to be making a new graphing book here this week, so I may even do a video on that, which I have not done in quite a while, because I've had a few questions about from people, you know, hey, how do you make this? How do you organize this? Well, things would be a great chance to kind of throw that in and throw in info about how to prep your cards as well. So I might look into making a video about that. I might even talk about it in the DIY grapher segment in a couple of weeks here as well.
And you definitely have something to say if you got over 200 cards signed recently at spring trading. So
exactly. Yeah. I mean, and the crazy thing is too, I mean, I know people who got even more done, and I saw just, I mean, so many different people using different methods for it. And it's like, this could be a good little pro and con kind of a thing. So I wrote one on there. I can do a video on it as well, and hopefully help a few other collectors out there out with their in-person graphing expeditions there.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah. So, hobby news from the week. We mentioned last week that Panini was in the news with some big signings, and they've got another one now. Troy, do you follow golf much at all? I know when I mentioned the Upper Deck golf set last year or last week, you're kind of like, oh, hey, that's out. All right, cool.
Not usually. I just kind of watch the headlines as they come through on news.
That's about the same as me. I mean, I'll check out like the final few holes of the Masters or something like that, but I can't stick with it for long. It tends to, it's like televised fishing shows. I just don't know. I don't find the excitement in it for very long. You got to find the most exciting moments of it, basically. But
curated collection of clips is what I'm
yes, exactly. Yeah, give me the Sports Center rundown, and I'm good to go on on all the golf stuff. But Panini in the news with LIV Golf, LIV Live. I'm not sure, something like that. All I know is LIV at the very least. But they have signed that group of golfers, that I guess golf organization might be the best way to put it, to a multi-year deal on trading cards. This is Panini's first entry into golf. They're going to be making both regular cards and instant cards coming up soon. And I know in their press release out, they had some kind of mock-ups of some cards. And it looks like they're going to have some really cool stuff. I know they had this impeccable one that looked like it had like a silver bar inserted into the card as well. I'm like, hey, that's pretty nifty looking there. So definitely looking forward to that. And if you're a golf collector, hey, definitely check that out. But Panini and LIV, multi-year deal.
I haven't done much with golf cards in the past. I might have to look that up here.
Yeah.
The most I've done are some of those golf cards that you can get that are blank and try sending those out. So
right.
Definitely we'll look at that. So in other news, Robert Edwards Auctions March Encore put up some more items for bids this month, including several Babe Ruth cards and evidently a large M110 cabinet card of Honus Wagner. And if you're not, if you're like me and don't really follow the vintage stuff, they also have some modern cards. They have a 2000 Bowman Tom Grady rookie card that is graded a BGS Gym 9.5. So if you're interested in ponying up some money for Mr. Brady there, the auction runs through the evening of March 24th.
Yep. A little bit out of my price range, but still, it's really cool getting to at least see those and see what they go for eventually.
Oh, come on. It's just a couple rolls of stamps, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. A couple thousand rolls of them. Yeah. That's probably more than I've ever spent on postage in my entire life combined it would take to get that. I know we've got a few basketball collectors out there listening, and if you're a basketball collector and a big spender, which clearly I am not, as I just said there, but Golden Auctions has their March Elite Sports Auction, and it is basketball loaded this time. They've got Kobe Bryant's first championship ring is up for sale in that one. There's also a 2016 Cavs championship ring. I mean, if I had the money for that, that's, you know, the first championship Cleveland has won in my lifetime, so I would love to get my hands on that, but probably a little bit outside my price range. They also have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's retirement jersey. He wore it during his final season, and it was the one given to him when the Lakers retired his number. That's going up for auction there as well. And a whole lot of cards, including a PSA 8 Michael Jordan 1984 star rookie card. You don't see the 84 star stuff. It was not graded by PSA and Beckett and all those until fairly recently. So seeing one of the one of those ones getting graded, coming up as an 8 and going up for auction there, definitely going to be worth keeping an eye on. Golden's auction will end on March 30th.
Over in Nationals news, it looks like Larry Zonka has joined the list of signers for the 2024 convention in Cleveland. The Ohio native is just the third NFLer to be announced as a signer at this year's show. So they're continuing to add some names there that you might be interested in. If you're thinking of going there or just kind of interested to see who is going and don't want to go back through our old shows to listen, even though you can visit nsccshow.com for more info.
I was kind of wondered, because he had that really unique face mask on his helmet. It had the big horseshoe right down there going straight down his nose. I wonder if they make a mini helmet with that style of face mask on it to get signed by him. It seems like, I mean, there might not be much of a market for it, since only one player ever wore it. But at the same time, I mean, that would be such a cool piece to have, I would think.
Yeah, well, we'd have to look that up and see if they've done that. Or maybe you can drop them a note.
There we go. Yeah, I'll contact Riddell or something and see what they've got going on if they do it. Yeah. Well, there's a whole lot of new releases coming out this week as well, across multiple sports even. So let's take a look at some of those. We've got some hockey coming with Upper Deck's Parkhurst Champions. It's last year's set, the 2022-23 set that's coming out right here. It's going to be on the 20th of the month. You'll see 8 cards per pack, 20 packs per box. You'll see 1 autograph or memorabilia card per box, and an average of 1 insert card per pack. Pre-sale price on that is running $120.
And also up on March 20th, we have 2023 Panini Limited Football. That is 5 cards per pack and 3 packs per box. And with that one there, you get 2 autographs and 1 memorabilia card per box there. And all of that and more for a pre-sale price of $375.
You're a big fan of punch-in-the-face contests. We've got some UFC stuff coming out here. Topps Chrome, of course, just recently re-signed UFC to a multi-year deal. And so the 2024 Topps Chrome UFC set will also be out on March 20th. 12 packs per box with 8 cards per pack. That is 96 cards total if you're scoring at home. 2 autographs in there and 20 refractors per box on average. So if you like some color in your cards, that's the way to go right there, is grab a box of that. Presale price on Topps Chrome UFC 2024 is $250.
And even more 2023 Panini football. This time, Panini Zenith is coming to stores on March 22nd. That has 6 cards per pack with 1 pack per box. So there you go. You get 1 autograph, 1 patch autograph, which are always fun, and 1 rookie card per box. And the presale price for that box there is $400.
Over in the soccer world, we've got the 2023 Topps Finest Road to UEFA Euro 2024. Take a deep breath after that one. Coming out on March 22nd. Gotta love the long names like that. I mean, on my rundown sheet here, runs outside of the boundary lines even there to try to get all that in. But yeah, if you're a soccer fan, you like UEFA Euro 2024 stuff, there you go. That's going to have 5 cards per pack, 6 packs per mini box, and 2 mini boxes per box. So math, 60 cards. There we go. All right, 60 cards per box coming out of there. You're also going to see 2 autographs per box there as well. I would guess probably like 1 per mini box in that case. Pre-sale price on that 2023 Topps Finest Road to UEFA Euro 2024 is $220.
And also on March 22nd, you have the 2024 Leaf Metal Hockey Legends being released. Now, this is kind of an interesting box here. So in each one, you have 3 autographed cards per box, but every card is numbered to 10 or less in that Leaf Hockey. So if you're interested in that, again, March 22nd, and the pre-sale price for that box is $108.
It's fun. I mean, autographs, and especially low numbered autographs like that. I'm interested in this. I mean, as a hockey collector, I mean, I don't like that, you know, Leaf can't show the logos or anything, but saw some big names on there too when I was looking through some of the info sheets there, with autographs from like Gordie Howe in there. I'm sure like some cut autos or sticker autos, it looked like, since hasn't been with us for a few years there, but he's in there. I think I saw some Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr stuff there. So definitely gonna be a cool product there, I think.
Yeah, I might actually check it out. That's a pretty good price there too.
Exactly. I got some card shows coming. I've had a whole lot of them that are going on, but picked these 3 out specifically to check out. And mostly because of the name of the place. This one is at the Card and Collectibles Convention at the Cow Palace. I love the name of the Cow Palace. For anyone who doesn't know, that is an arena in, I believe, San Jose. It's at least around the San Francisco Bay Area there. It's a legendary concert venue, and I think the San Jose Sharks played out of there their first couple of years too, but got a big show there, March 22nd through the 24th. I don't have any info on their admission costs at all, but some big name signers there. If you're a 49ers fan, they're going to have John Taylor, Patrick Willis, Frank Gore, and Roger Craig all there, along with Baseball Hall of Famer Ricky Henderson.
And coming up locally here for me on March 22nd to 24th, unfortunately, I have other plans that weekend, but we have the Capital City Card Convention, a little alliteration there. That will be at the Iowa Event Center in Des Moines, Iowa. And the admission there is $10 in advance or $15 at the door. And there are VIP passes available. According to the information, they have about 200 tables there with signers Isaac Bruce, Matt Hughes, and Cade McNamara. So if you're in the Midwest here locally, give that a shot. I will not be there, so you can roam freely without running into me. No. I'm sure it'll be a great time. If I wasn't busy, I would definitely head over there that weekend.
Yeah. I want to make sure we got that one in there, because it seems like so many of the shows seem to be congregated, you know, around the coast and everything, and sometimes the Great Lakes area. And so to see a big one there in Iowa, it's like, oh, hell yeah, we're throwing that one in there for sure. We've got one from the other Bay Area. You mentioned the San Francisco Bay Area. How about one from the Florida Bay Area? This is the Bay Area Card Show, March 22nd and 23rd. It'll be in Clearwater, Florida at the Banquet Masters Hall. No info on the admission cost at all there, but signing autographs will have Eric Rett, former running back for, I believe, the Florida Gators. And then I think, if I remember, he went into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Baltimore, and I know he was in camp with Cleveland at one point. I don't know if he ever played for the Browns at all or not, but he'll be out there. And I want to throw that in because it provides us with a perfect transition.
And now it's time for Collector's Corner. Let's hear from our collector this week. This segment is sponsored by Collex, the free app for scanning, pricing, tracking, and cataloging your cards. Get your first $5 on the app automatically by scanning a card, adding it to your collection, and listing it for sale today.
So this week in Collector's Corner, I talked to Jason Hines, who is a Florida area collector, is probably going out to that Bay Area card show. He'll be talking a little bit about some of the card shows in the Florida area here when we get into everything with him. But Jason and I have made a few trades over the years, and always talking back and forth about card and autograph related stuff. He had some great finds at a show just yesterday, in fact, that he showed me. So cool to see his pickups there. He's always looking through saying, hey, got this ball. Do you know what year it would be from? And we try to figure out what year it is and all that. But he's got some great stuff, and he's going to talk about it right now. Jason Hines in Collector's Corner.
And now it's time for Collector's Corner. Let's hear from our collector this week. This segment is sponsored by Collex, the free app for scanning, pricing, tracking, and cataloging your cards. Get your first $5 on the app automatically by scanning a card, adding it to your collection, and listing it for sale today.
All right, well, we're here in Collector's Corner, joined by Jason Hines. Jason, great to have you on the show here, first off.
Drew, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I mean, I've been talking to you a while ever since I took over the hosting. I'm like, dude, we've got to get you on here. Like, yeah, no problem. So figure we'll get you on here for this one and go ahead and knock that out. So just tell us a little bit about yourself, what you collect, and just kind of how long you've been at this for in collecting sports stuff.
Well, I tell you what, you know, it's been probably, I'd say, 30 plus years since I started collecting. I would say somewhere in the mid 80s. You know, I just kind of grew up being around sports just through my family. My dad would take me to spring training games down here in Florida a lot. And it really kind of got me involved with the Twins back in 1987, their World Series championship team. We had a good friend, Steve Lombardozzi, who played second base for them. And he would give us tickets to spring training games. Every spring break, my dad would take me down to Tinker Field in Orlando to see the Twins play. And I got to interact with all those players, Kirby Puckett to Joe Niekro at the time, to Kent Herbeck, Greg Gagne, Gary Gaetti. And you go through the whole list of all those guys from the 87 championship team. And that's when I started getting autographs. My dad would take me and get some baseball cards. I would get my card signed. And that's really what kind of got me started into it.
Nice. Do you still kind of follow the Twins spring training? I know they moved a little bit further south there now to Fort Myers, but at least they're still in Florida there now.
You know what? I don't, which is kind of a shame, if you will, just because I, you know, just growing up around those guys was such a great experience. I don't keep up with it as much since the Rays showed up here.
Oh, yeah.
We do have the Marlins as well down in Miami, but they're so far away from where I live in Gainesville. I'm more north central Florida. So the Rays is a quick 2-hour drive for me. So I kind of pay attention to them a little bit more. But as a kid growing up here in the South, not having a pro baseball team in Florida, just spring training going on, we're always a Braves fan. You know, TBS and the Superstation was on TV. I know a lot of people listening probably, you know, watch WGN. You could always see the Cubs playing back then as well. Yep. So that was kind of my team back in the day. It was usually the Braves. Pay attention to the Rays a little bit more. And we do have a little bit of a close minor league team there in Jacksonville with the Suns. So. Right. Every once in a while, I try to get out to some of that stuff. And I've been a big Gator fan all my life. You know, I grew up around the Gators, graduated from the University of Florida. I got started in radio there. Really collect a lot of the Gator memorabilia, whether it's game used stuff, whether it's autographs, just cards in general. So that's kind of my main collection there.
Nice. Any particular favorite pieces there among just the Gators stuff there that you can think of? Like, what would you say is your number one, if you had to pick one, your favorite item you've got?
No, you're going to put me on the spot here, Drew. Usually, yes, I'm the one that's usually doing the interviewing questions here. So
I see the tables have turned, Mr. Bond.
I'm telling you, it's a little different. So, gosh, you know what? I mean, you know, when I was in, you know, as a kid, I was a ball boy for the Gator basketball team back from like 88 to 90. And Emmitt Smith was playing football here at the time at UF. And so I have like an early sign kind of a program from Emmitt back then. I would rank that kind of up there just because it's one of those personal things, you know, when you're having a personal exchange with me and an athlete. I would say from my college years, I got a couple of game used jerseys from the guys on the basketball team. So I got Justin Hamilton. He was a point guard for the Gators at the time, and a few other players like Brent Wright and Adrian Moss and a few other guys in there. So I kind of hold those up there, you know, and as far as baseball is concerned, man, that's tough. I have a lot of different baseball items that I like. You know, one is a Yogi Berra baseball that got signed when he was working for the Astros in their upper office, you know, in their front office. He was at Kissimmee a lot. And Kissimmee used back in the day used to be a great place for everybody who's listening. If you graft in Kissimmee, the Astros, you could basically just walk everywhere around there. And so I got Yogi Berra back then. So that's kind of one of my cool baseball pieces I like.
Nice. So did you do spring training like every single year for a while, or was it kind of an off and on thing for you, or how did that go? Because I mean, I just got back from my first one. I went out to Arizona for a week fairly recently, and needless to say, I'm hooked. So I'm looking forward to future ventures out there, but I might check out Florida too. So do you still do it all, or how long did that go on for you?
You know, it went on for a good amount of time there. I'd say like in the mid to late 80s, 90s. I am 47 myself, so everybody who's listening right now, you know, I was born in the mid 70s. So a lot of those 80s and 90s guys, that's my era. So a lot of those cards is what I've got signed over the years. So I would say probably from about 85 to about 94 or so, I was doing graphing every year in spring training, going whenever I kind of could. And then it kind of sloughed off after a while when I got into college. But every once in a while I would go, and I actually had an experience out in Arizona one time when I was in college. I got to go visit out there. There was a girl I was dating at the time. We went to Tempe, and I went and saw, I think it was like the Rockies and the Cubs out there, and I met Ron Santo. And I think we went to another game. Gosh, I can't remember who it was. I think it was the Diamondbacks against somebody else. Ho-Ho-Cam Park, I think that's the name of it.
I was just about to say that's Cubs were at Ho-Ho-Cam back then. It's the A's are out there now, so yeah.
Okay, wow, yeah. So you know, that was just kind of cool because I met Santo and a few other people out there. And you know, it's that dry heat. The Florida is a little bit different. But I still have a great experience. My closest thing is, you know, my dad likes to go. He's 83 years old. He's still able bodied. We still go and do stuff, and we go to Race Fest. So I recently just went to Race Fest. They have a really good setup for that. They have a lot of interaction with the current players. They also have different, you know, managerial staff and coaches that do some sideline interviews and things like that. And they also do some alumni autographs where you can, they have some different things they provide, and you can also bring some things in if you so choose. So I got about 150 so things signed down there at the Race Fest. So that was it was a good time there for that one.
Yeah. It's good to hear the teams are still doing that. I know you've mentioned before the Rays having a great one. A friend of mine has always talked about the Braves having a pretty good one. The Cubs have theirs, and the Rangers have completely just screwed theirs up so badly. They don't even bother with it anymore. So it's good to know that at least a few teams out there are still doing it and still having really good success there.
You know, when I was living in Fayetteville, Arkansas, when I had my radio show up there at the time on this Rock Alternative station, the Northwest Arkansas Naturals are there. So at the time, you know, I think they're still affiliated with the Royals. But they had a Royals caravan used to come around that area. Just being there's no real pro ball in Arkansas except for in Little Rock with the Trabs. But they, you know, it's a kind of a cool experience where they would bring some of that to the Arkansas area for pro sports that would actually have a caravan thing and bring alumni players and maybe like one current player at the time. I think back then when I was doing it, Joey Gathright was on the team. So they brought him and David De Jesus. And I think John Mayberry and Piccolo, who I think is still in the front office there for the Royals. But, you know, it's nice to see that some teams still kind of get it. You know, I think it's all about fan interaction. You need that. That's what's putting the people in the seats is and wants to come to the ballpark, especially in this day and age where you have state-of-the-art technology where you're going to watch it on TV if you want. So, you know, it's good that some of them do that. Now, when I was down in West Palm Beach, you know, there's a couple of teams down there that kind of share the area, and I think that was like the real last time I did it. It wasn't a real fan fest, you know. It was actually I was just going to the spring training games. That was like the Marlins and the Cardinals. So you know, who knows, maybe next year we'll have some more teams doing some fan fests.
I really hope so. That would definitely help things out. So you mentioned there that you're kind of sweet spot area is the mid to late 80s into like the early 90s or so. I know you've got at least one set project that you're working on in that range there. Tell us a little bit about that. Like, what are you working on with the that 88 score set? And are there any others that you're really working on as well?
You know, yeah, man, it's been a labor of love. You know, we were talking about doing the graphing days back then, and I just kind of went back through my collection. You know, I had a few thousand cards signed. And so I went looking through and I was like, man, I have about 200 or so of the 1988 scorecard signed. You know, I just got them from visiting teams that would either see the Astros or the Twins play during those years and so forth. And so I said, you know what, maybe I'll just go for it. And a lot of them were some of the deceased guys. So I'm down to one. If everybody's listening right now, and then there was one. It's Alan Wiggins. And Alan at the time was basically out of baseball. You know, he was traded in 87, and like 88 is his only 88 card he has. He doesn't have a Topps or Donruss or the score is the only one that he has. So it was kind of one of those that they made after, you know, he wasn't really on the team anymore. And so, you know, he passed away in 93. So it's kind of like a tough one to get. I maybe seen like one or two that have existed. So I'm down to that last one, and I need about 10 for the traded. So I'm going for all the whole thing. And it's just really kind of a, you know, it's not a set that's worth a lot. It does have a lot of Hall of Famers in it, and it's the first set that was all action photos. You know, when Score came out, they were the new kids on the block, if you will, in 1988, besides Fleer, Topps, and Donruss. You know, Upper Deck came out in 89, the year after. So that was their stick was kind of, hey, you know, we got these cool clear plastic packs you can kind of thumb through, and you can see what's on the front and the back. And then, you know, you also had the opportunity to kind of get some kind of cool rookies at the time, which was like, you know, Jeffries was a big card for everybody back then, you know, trying to get. And so, you know, I just kind of picked that because it was really cool. All action photos. So the pitchers are pitching. You're either in the field of play, you're either batting, except for the multiplayer cards. They're standing. And I think Vicente Palacios is standing in the bullpen area, but it was back when it was on the field at the time. So he's kind of like in the field of play, but not really like in play yet. So
it's still better than his Topps card. It's still better than his Topps card where he's just got that headshot where he's like just staring you down. So
I think this one in the score, it's not airbrushed though. So that's,
oh, there you go.
Maybe a possibility. I think that's the difference in it, you know. So, yeah. But yeah, I just kind of decided to start on that one, and I really haven't tried much else. You know, I kind of started on the 1990 Senior League cards. I had a bunch of those. You know, I ended up buying a few of those, including the Jim Nettles vulgar on the vulgarity on the bat card.
There you go.
So that one's kind of a cool one. So that was like, well, man, maybe I should start this one just because it's kind of a neat one. And other than that, it's just all Gators. Any Gators that are like former Major League Baseball players, football, basketball, all that kind of stuff. That's kind of, you know, if I'm trying to like build, team sets out of like, you know, maybe all the alumni for a particular year or something like that. So,
yeah. Something with that 88 score set, and maybe it was only with the box that I bought of it a while back, but did you ever notice it in all the packs, all the cards came in numerical order?
Yeah, it's wild too. You know, plus, you know, by the color as well. So you're going to get purple first. And I think it's followed by blue. And I want to say it's like maybe red. And then, you know, like the off yellow orange comes up and then like some greens in there. And then, you know, but yeah, that's wild. So, you know, it kind of helped in trying to organize, I guess, you know?
Yeah, it makes sorting a little bit easier at least there. Yeah. But it was funny. I got halfway through the box before I noticed. I'm like, wait a second. This makes three packs in a row here. And wait a second. Oh, hey, it's every single one. But yeah, I mentioned to the friend that gave it to me and he's like, are you serious? Why I never noticed that? And, you know, 30 years later, you're still discovering stuff on cards. It's always fun.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And, you know, there's like nine errors in there. So I was going for both the error signed and the corrected signed. And so I have those as well. And then, you know, it's also, I want to say, I believe it's the first card that had, you know, color photos of the player on the back of the card too, if it was their main card, you know, and that kind of helps in identifying, you know. I think, you know, some sports got better at that, you know, specifically football and hockey, where they had to kind of start doing that because you could never see what the players look like, you know, without their faces on there. So, you know, the score, 88 score, kind of helped with that too, just in, you know, being able to see, like, you know, in different photos. And I really like the stats and that they had on there and some of the descriptions.
Were you ever able to get the Cecil Espy for the traded set at all? I know we've talked about that one a couple times.
That's still one I miss. Him and Ray Hayward. Oh, those are the two Rangers. You know, and Hayward's at what, Texas Tech right now. I sent him an email, but he probably won't respond to it. But I was just like, hey man, can I send you a bunch of cards in return? I just need this one. I need you and Cecil Espy. That's the last one. Yep. And the traded. And the other two tough ones I need there is Quisenberry and Welch, since they're both no longer alive. Right. The rest of the players are still living, so there's still hope. But yeah, you know, it's just a labor of love. Like everybody else is maybe listening, that you have a project you're working on. It's fun to do. And then, you know, when you get it completed, you know, then it's on to the next one, right? You know,
exactly. Yeah. I was hoping to land one for you because I thought a friend of mine might have one, but he went through and no, he didn't have it. It's like, crap, no, I thought I was going to have this all set there. So
the search continues, you know. Yes. That's part of the fun too, you know. And I like trying to go to a lot of the different shows that are down here in the area. You know, I don't get out of state to a lot of different shows, but, you know, we have some around here in the Florida area. So I'm always asking and seeking it out. I know you, are working on something yourself too, right?
Oh God. I have entirely too many, but yes, there are ones I'm working on.
Whether it's the 72 tops or the tops total in hockey, you name it. Yeah.
Well, the big one, cause I've my latest project that I kind of started up here recently it's called One Frank Tanana. And if you remember a few years ago, there was a guy who did the one red paperclip trade, where he started out with one red paperclip and through a series of trades over the span of a year, trade up and got a house.
Yeah, I do remember this story.
So I started out with a Frank Tanana autograph.
Yeah.
And through a series of trades, I was going to try to just see how far I could get in a year. And I've made a couple of them so far, but I've got it was an 02 tops Larry Boa, and a friend of mine is doing the 02 tops set. So I figured, well, wait a minute. He might have that Cecil Espy card, since he does a lot of Rangers alumni stuff too. And so I'm like, all right, instant trade bait right there. And unfortunately, he didn't have it. So I'm like, all right, I'll figure out some other deal with him. And so, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's always fun to work on stuff like that. I mean, whether it's a set, whether it's collecting a team, a little bit of both of those, or even just, you know, some random ass thing, like, you know, starting with a Frank Tanana and seeing how far you get. It's always fun just to just throw it out there and see what you can do with something like that.
Well, that's the beauty of collecting too. You know, you like what you like, and part of the hobby itself is helping others and trying to, you know, sometimes like there's some things that I really like and somebody I know, they would appreciate it more. You know, it's like, you know, this kind of needs to be with you, you know, this, or it's helping somebody fill out a set, which I love doing, or they're needing a specific card signed in a certain set too, you know. That's kind of what it's all about, what the hobby is all about. And you kind of end up finding yourself collecting different things that way too, you know, whether it's, I've been in music. You're a big music fan too. So I collect band autographs too, and different people I've interviewed over the years, or whether it's signed drumsticks. I mean, you name it, you know? And so I find different stuff like that, or there's different people I meet that are really big fans of certain bands, and I might have something, you know, then I'm willing to part with it and let them have it. So.
Any particular favorites that you've gotten in the music world at all?
Oh gosh, man. You know, there's a few, there's, you know, this band Damage Plan. That's, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, kind of Texas, if you will, but Vinnie Paul and Dimebag Darrell in that band. And that was the band that they were in when Dimebag was murdered in Columbus, Ohio. And so I actually had an opportunity. We were doing a show with them like 2 months prior to that incident happening. We had them when I was a DJ on the air in Jackson, Mississippi. We did a show with them in Drowning Pool and some other band. I can't remember, but I got their entire album at the time autographed. So I have the whole band on it. And that's kind of a cool piece. And it's like a promo copy of the CD that's, you know, gold stamp for promotional use only. And it has a radio station like 93.9 Rocks on it. And it's signed by all of them. That one's a cool one, you know.
That's a true one of a kind right there then too, with that.
Yeah,
stamp on
it's
it.
It's a tough, you know, that's a tough one to get, especially since it wasn't out that long and they weren't that band for that long, you know? Right. And it's just one of those things where, you know, it just kind of like, made itself happen in the sense that I was doing sales for the radio station. I did the night show and I normally wasn't there in the daytime, but they stopped by the studio to do an interview and then they're going to be on at night, you know? So like I'm the night jock. And then I'm like, when the show's over, I'm heading over to the concert, you know? So I don't get the whole pre-party kind of a thing. So I'm in my khaki pants, you know, and I'm sitting there in the office and Dimebag comes up and he's looking at me. He's like, your name is Roach. That was my on air name. You know, he's like, you know, need more tattoos and piercings, man. Like, what the heck's going on? Like, bro, like I'm normally not in this attire. Okay. Like I've got to go around. I'm in a suit and tie. I'll be wearing a black t-shirt tonight. Don't worry. You know? So, they end up autographing it for me. We kind of joked about it, but, it was, you know, that's kind of cool. I mean, I've met a perfect circle, not Maynard, you know, cause Maynard's just weird, but
yeah,
you know,
like yeah.
Everybody else that's in them, I got a few things signed by them and the Black Keys and, you know, Kid Rock from back in the day. You know, a bunch like that, Motley Crue. I mean, the list goes on and on for a lot of those. But, you know, the fun thing, as you know, about getting autographs is you can look at it and it takes you right back to the moment when you got it. You know, you can remember maybe what you were wearing, what the interaction was like, where you were, all that kind of stuff. So when I go back and look at some of those band stuff, it has some memories. Like it helps me to remember because sometimes I don't remember everything. So, you know,
right.
Yep. It's kind of a cool sentiment to have.
Yeah. A lot of the time here on the show, we talk about like, we try to promote card shows whenever we can and everything. And I know Jeff was always big about talking about anything that he was going out to, but, what does the card market overall look like down in Florida? Since we don't really get to talk to anybody from down there that much. I mean, how are the shows, flea markets, anything like that? Do you get any good finds down there?
Hey, you know what? I do. I really do, you know, and I think it's a lot from spring training being down here for so many years and just so many retirees that come to the state too. You know, they call Florida home. So there's a lot of different estate sales that I go to, different garage sales that I go to. There's a lot of great shows. There's a few that happen in Jacksonville. You know, you can all look up this up. I think it's on SCD. You promote that, right? Sports Collectors Digest.
Yeah, I know. A couple of our correspondents do some writing for them. Jeff wrote a couple articles for them. That's usually who I go through to find the show news and anything. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, check out this podcast, you know, and I don't know if you have some links that, you know, that links to some of that stuff, but Jacksonville, Florida has some. You know, I go to that just because I live in North Central Florida. I live in Gainesville. So that's close for me, about an hour and a half. There's a bunch that happen in the Tampa area. There's also some that happen in the Orlando area. And there's some recent ones that just kind of happened in St. Augustine as well. And then you get down to the Villages where, you know, that's really a big retirement area too. And they have one every, I think, every 3 months they do one down there. And I like going down to that one. You know, just look for the colorful loofahs and take your penicillin. You're good. You know, you'll be all right down there. A lot of people joke about it, especially living down here. It's just kind of a funny thing that we joke about, but it's a real thing, but they do have a really great setup there. Last show they had Ed Cranepool there. They also had Craig Anderson of the New York Mets. That was kind of a surprise, but sometimes every once in a while they'll have some athletes there. I know Joe Rudy lives down there. He's maybe been there before. Tony Brizolera, who played, I think, 1980. He was on the Braves. Sometimes they have some athletes like that. So kind of pay attention. I don't really get down, for everybody listening, you know, it's in Florida too. and you know, around the country, you and around the world and the universe for that matter. Let's just go big. You know, South Florida, I don't get down to a lot, but there's a lot down there, like West Palm Beach and Miami and stuff like that. But they've been great. A lot of different stuff that you get to see. Some people specializing just in soccer. You know, some people specializing just in hockey. But you definitely have a variety. And I'm not a real wax guy. I mean, unless it's like kind of like vintage, you know, junk wax stuff. Like opening that stuff just is nostalgia for me. You know, like the new stuff for sure. So it's a lot of vintage, you know, in Florida, like I said, and a lot of just like really cool, different people that are just, you know, private collectors as well as, different entities that maybe have sports shops around the area and so forth.
Nice. Yeah, we actually, there's a dealer that I really like out of Florida that has done the Dallas card show a whole bunch of times. I think he does a national every year too. W.R. George. I don't know if you've run into him at all in any shows, but if you're looking for 88, any of the 88 score stuff there, he might be the guy who might have something there. I mean, he might have the Cecil SB in there for all I know, but yeah.
All right. W.R. George. I'll have to check him out and try to find him. I do like look around in there and, you know, find stuff here and there every once in a while too, especially for other my friends, you know, who are looking, who have lists too. You know, it's kind of like, if you see something, you know, hit me up about it. If there's a couple of 72s that you end up finding, or if it's maybe, you know, the few, I don't know how, there's maybe down to five or so you need in the hockey. But, it's like, I like looking for all that kind of stuff too. And I think, you know, that's just part of it as well as the collecting community is. Things come from all over the place. You don't know where it's come from, or different collections that have been bought out from whoever, or just somebody's brought it in or was passed down for somebody, or an angry girlfriend's getting rid of it all. You know,
right. I
mean, you never know, or an angry significant other in this day and age. But
yes,
you know,
exactly.
It's like, it's, you know, I just, you know, I like going to a lot of that stuff and meeting the different people, you know, and telling the stories and, you know, and people talking about what's their favorite pieces in their collection. You know, I have my dad got me a Bear Bryant signed book that he got when he was like younger, you know, and kind of was like, oh, yeah, I forgot I had this. I'm going to give it to you. So I just got a PSA authenticated. But, you know, like things that you just don't remember sometimes, which that's kind of fun, too, when you go looking around and digging through and you just kind of find stuff that you forgot you had.
Yeah. How much TTMing do you do? Do you still send out a lot of stuff at all, or are you more mostly in person?
I do. You know, it's been a while. I've participated in a lot of the private signings that you see, you know, that I know there are a lot of people that, you know, you see in the groups and stuff, and you go online and seek out. And I've been sending a lot of that. So I guess that's TTM. I do a lot of trading and selling to different people, doing it like that. Writing some letters, it's few and far between. I have written some letters just to send stuff to guys, just to send it to them, you know, not anything in return, just like a donation, like something cool. Like I wrote Glenn Hubbard, you know, he's a great TTM guy. And I wrote him, you know, some years back, and I said, hey, you know, I just need these couple signs from these sets I'm working on. And I'm going to send you a bunch that I had, you know, which is like about 50 or 60 that I had of them. And I just didn't get around to it. And I finally did. And so I mailed him to him the other day. Floyd Rayford lives here in Gainesville, Florida, a big TTM guy, you know, who's an Oriole. Same with Rick Reichart. He lives here in Gainesville, too. I see Rick every once in a while. I actually gave him one of his game used bats back about a year ago. He like freaked out over it. It was pretty cool. You know, I didn't put it up for the gram or anything. You just kind of do stuff like that just to do it. So he was really kind of stoked about that. So, you know, it's kind of funny. Like I sent it to him in the mail, even though they live here, you know what I mean? So, or I've, you know, I've given it to Rick in person before. But I need to get back into it. You know, I really need to get back at that. It's really fun. You know, I got hooked on it when I was a kid. I ordered through the Beckett magazine, the baseball address list book that, you know, everybody had back then. I actually got it signed by Dr. Beckett. Try to find it and remember which year it was, but you could send in a request when you bought it back then via the mail. You had to like mail in the check, you know, and, you know, I ended up getting it signed. So then I just kind of looked and I started writing. So I'd say the first time I started writing people was probably 1987 when I started writing some athletes. And I want to say the first, if I can remember back then, was Will Clark, who I got back. I was a big Will Clark fan, you know, and so it was on his 87 Leaf card. Cause back then it was like the Leaf was the cheaper one back then, kind of, you know, and like now it's like, well, now they're kind of like cooler, but you know, it was, you know, I sent that one. So I got his 87 Leaf autographed, and I ended up sending it to Rafael Palmeiro at the same time too. And then I got a return from him. I got Mark McGuire in 88 on his 88 Fleer card. So when I was 12 years old then, you know, and I ended up sending to Gary Sheffield. I got him back, and a few others like Sean Dunstan and some other guys that I just liked as a kid, you know. And that's what kind of got me hooked. You know, I wrote to Johnny Bench. I think I got like his standard postcard he sent back then. You know, I didn't have anything, you know, because, you know, as a kid back then, like getting a Johnny Bench card, I was like, huh? Like it was kind of expensive to buy, you know, or lose if you're going to, you know, don't say anything you don't want to lose or you can't, you know, you won't mind losing.
His 83 stuff probably would have been kind of tough to get at that point, too. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, and like we were talking about, you know, your local, if you had a local card shop, you know, that's where you could get this stuff, or you're mail ordering it back of the Beckett or the Tough Stuff magazine or whatever, you know, publications you had at the time, that you could order stuff from, or whoever you traded with that you knew that was like around you. You know, now you can, you know, with the World Wide Web and all that kind of stuff, it's, you know, it's gotten even more vast and bigger and kind of, and huge in my opinion. Yeah. But, you know, I still go to one here locally, you know, there's LCS here that I go to and still try to get that community feel, you know, and just interacting with people.
Nice. Well, that's about does it for my questions here. Anything else that you want to make mention of here before we put a bow on the segment here?
Drew, I appreciate you having me on, you know, and everybody that's out there, keep doing the TTM thing, keep getting the autograph thing, you know, have some courtesy, respect for people, you know, that are trying to get autographs and, you know, it is what it is. Like, you know, we're just trying to seek out autographs from people, you know, treat people with dignity and respect. You don't need to be pushing and shoving people out of the way. You know, let kids get their just due. You know, you're a kid at one point as well. And then if they have time for you, that's great. So that's kind of one of my things. You know, the show is called the Roach Motel Radio Show. I recently retired off of it. So I'm looking for something to do. Everybody's listening out there. Anything on my social media is the Roach Motel. So Instagram, everybody, it's on X. If you're on Facebook, you can type in the Roach Motel Radio Show. You'll find me. And yeah, big Gators collector, working on the 88 score. And that's kind of it, really. Just, you know, be well and, you know, keep after it, everybody. And I hope that your collecting habits get better and your successes are great and grow as the years continue.
All right. Well, there you have it. Give him a follow. Jason Hines, thank you once again for joining us here on the Collector's Corner segment.
Drew, I appreciate it, and thanks for having me.
So big thanks once again to Jason joining us here, and so from there, let's move on to Making the Grade.
Making the Grade is sponsored by CGC Cards. All card grading, all in one place. Certified guarantee company, CGC, devoted to the expert grading of collectible cards. Visit cgccards.com today.
Making the Grade is a summary of all things related to card grading and that area of the hobby, with all of our info coming to us from gemrate.com. A big thanks to them for providing that to us. And so, Troy, give us a rundown of the big four companies. What do we got for their most recent finished off week?
Yeah, so this week we're looking at March 4th to March 10th, and PSA had about 291K cards that went through their hands. And that was down about 13%. CGC had 71K, which is kind of the big the big mover this week. Yeah. That was up 174%. So CGC getting some cards passed through them. SGC 33.7K, up 8%. And Beckett 19.3K, up 32%. So everybody kind of up. A little bit of a downturn there with PSA, but all of them coming in that week for about 415K total cards that were graded.
Amazing. I mean, you see PSA, it seems like they were at, I think, like 333,000. So to drop off 40,000 cards there, it's like, that seems like a lot. And then you see, oh, that's only 13%, and everything across the entire board is still up thanks to the CGC there. So kind of interesting to watch the ebb and flow there between all the different companies there. Let's go ahead and take a look at this week's Big Three.
This week's Big Three is brought to you by GemRate.com. Whose cards are hot and whose cards are cold this week? Let's find out from our friends at GemRate.com.
The Big Three comes to us courtesy of GemRate.com. It is a TTM cast exclusive. You will find these numbers and this info in no other place. So the Big Three risers this week in terms of grading volume. We'll take a look at the Big Three fallers as well, but our winner is Paul Skaines, is number one. He is up 109%. The Pittsburgh Pirates' number one overall draft pick there just had his first few cards come out. So makes sense that he is very, very highly up, moving up the board right there. Max Clark comes in at second. He's up 93% this week. And one kind of from the out of nowhere department, Tom Seaver's cards up 48%. Not sure why the boost in Tom Seaver there, but sometimes you never know. Sometimes somebody just, you know, says, hey, I'm going to get my entire collection graded and poof, there you go. It boosts him up the table there. But Skeins' number, his first Bowman draft paper was this week's big winner in terms of just individual cards. SGC alone graded 800 copies of that first Bowman draft paper card. And I guess it makes sense. I mean, he's the number one overall pick. It's his first card. He's apparently been wowing a bit in spring training. So cool to see that at least. So keep an eye on him. And yeah, the Pirates are definitely going to be a team to watch out for. They've been building up a real nice youth movement there over the last couple of years. Hopefully they can do something with it now. That's the biggest thing there. So on the other side, Troy, what do we got for the guys that have been kind of falling down the charts a bit?
Yeah, we have Shaedon Sharpe, who was down 9%. Chipper Jones fell about 18%. And Giannis Antetokounmpo down about 19%.
Chipper Jones, the other one's kind of that out of nowhere there, along with Tom Seaver, which it's always fun, though, kind of just seeing, you know, these names pop up. It's like, okay, that came out of nowhere, but sure, yeah, well, let's go with that. So once again, a big thanks to JimWright.com for providing us these numbers for the Big Three every week. Make sure you're following them, Jim Wright, on Twitter and elsewhere, and they post up all sorts of daily grading information anytime that they have it in, weekly, monthly, yearly, all kinds of great stats from them if you're as big of a stat nerd as I am.
Yeah. I always look forward to the rundown coming out so I can see the numbers. So definitely want to thank them.
Yeah, it's, I don't know what it is about seeing the numbers on there, but that's always been my thing, is numbers. So definitely a big fan of them providing all that. So once again, let's move on to the TTM Cast Stamp of Approval.
I bet you're wondering, who earned this week's TTM Cast Stamp of Approval?
Well, TTM Cast Stamp of Approval is just a chance for Troy and I to give a thumbs up to something, anything from the previous week. You never know what you're gonna get from us. I mean, we've done mine's gonna be food again. I'll go ahead and say it this week. You'll see a lot of that out of me. Sometimes it's sports stuff, sometimes it's music, movies, TV. You never know what it might be. And so I know Troy's got one that's gonna be an interesting one. I'll go ahead and let you take this one first. I'm kind of interested to see what you have to say for this one.
Well, my stamp of approval this week is for apparently Target, Walmart, and some of the big retailers are re-implementing the express line, this time for the self-checkout machine. So they're going to be limiting to, I don't know if it was 8 or 10, but 10 items or less through the self-checkouts. And my only, you know, at first everybody was like, yeah, but my only caveat is that I hope they get more cashiers to handle the other people that might go to the other ones. Because as you know, when self-checkouts come out, now you could only find maybe two. You have the tobacco line that's always open with a real person, and you might have one more there. So there's no word with all this news about that they're actually going to open more lanes, which could definitely, I don't know, play with some people's patience if they do have more items. But, and again, they're not going to be there counting if you have 11 items or not. But I do remember the days of the old express checkout or 12 items or less. And at least we're getting back to a little bit of that, because some of the self-checkouts are full carts or two carts or whatever. And I'm one of those guys that just want to go in, get in and get out. So.
Yeah. I like that. That's a good one. I mean, I can see the both sides of it, because, you know, people say that, oh, well, having self-checkout, you know, it gets rid of jobs and all this other stuff. But at the same time, it's like, it does. I mean, you can kind of apportion your workforce a little bit better there to where it's more effective. But I think I like what they're doing there, what you brought up there. Have self-checkout, but have it for the people that only have a couple items, and let the bigger orders go through the regular aisles. I think that's a really good plan. I'm hoping that, like you, I'm hoping they stick with that. That'll be really good.
Mm-hmm.
So my stamp approval for this week, I was originally going to talk about spring football being back and finally condensed down into one league, but then I went out to lunch and went to Lockhart Barbecue here in Arlington. Lockhart is one of the best, it's one of the best barbecue places you'll find here in the Dallas area, and there's a lot of really good ones around here. So my boss up at Panini was actually as part of a group called the Texas Barbecue Posse, And there are a bunch of guys, current and former writers, photographers, everybody from Dallas Morning News who are all big barbecue fans. And they would go all over the place. They would go down to Austin. They'd go around Dallas area. They'd head all over the state and check out barbecue places and give their reviews and do these end-of-year ratings and such. And Lockhart was always one of his favorites. And they put one in here in Arlington right next to the Rangers ballpark. And so my wife and I got done over at the UFL practice there. She came down to watch it as well. And go back to the car and we're like, all right, what do we want to do for lunch? And toss around ideas. And then like right at the other end of the parking lot, it's like, wait a second. Lockhart is right there. You just want to hit that? I'm like, yes, we will do that. And so went there again. And Burnt Ends are mostly a Kansas City thing when it comes to barbecue. But Lockhart Barbecue does some really, really good ones here where you get the burnt ends of the brisket that are cut up into chunks. And, oh, God, it is just so good. It's, to me, it's the best piece of the brisket there, which, I mean, you can't really go wrong with sliced brisket or chopped brisket. But burnt ends, to me, are the pinnacle. And they happen to have them today. And so, all right, that's it. Let's get that. Got the these brisket deviled eggs as well. And their sides are just absolutely incredible as well, along with the meat. So Lockhart Barbecue, several locations around the Dallas area. But the one right close to me there is right at the stadiums. And so that gets my TTM Cast stamp of approval for this week. And so with that said, let's go ahead and move on to this week's Vern Rap Minute. Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to the memory of Mr. Vern Rapp, a former Major League ball player and manager who unfortunately passed away before our show founder, Jeff Baker, sent an autograph request out to him. So he got a note back from the family saying, hey, unfortunately, he has already passed away. And so in his memory and in his honor, we have this service that we provide to collectors out there to let you know who has passed away so that you don't make the mistakes that we have made in sending to somebody who has already passed away. First, what I want to mention is Ron Buznick. Ron was a right winger for the Buffalo Sabres, very briefly with the Sabres, I believe 6 games across 2 seasons with them, before going to the WHA with Minnesota, New England, and Edmonton from 1973 to 1978. Not a big goal scorer, but he was 10th all-time in the World Hockey Association in penalty minutes. Not known to be a TTMer, Ron Buznick was 75 years old.
And we also have Bill Plummer, who was a catcher from 1968 to 78 for the Chicago Cubs, the Reds, and the Mariners. And he was also the manager of the 1992 Managers. And you might remember that he was actually a backup to Johnny Bench while he played. And he was a fairly good TTMer, I guess. And Bill Plummer was 76 years old.
Keeping in the baseball world, we lost Jim McAndrew this week. Jim was a pitcher for several years, mostly with the Mets, and his career with the Padres very briefly as well. He was a part of 1969 New York Mets, who won the World Series, though he did not play in the series itself. If you're a fan of the Dodgers or Marlins from the early 90s, you may remember his son, Jamie McAndrew, played for both of them. Jim McAndrew was an excellent TTMer. He was 80 years old.
And turning to football, we have Wayne Wilson, who was a running back from 1979 to 87. He played for the Saints, the Vikings, and for Washington, and he scored 11 touchdowns in 83 as a backup to George Rogers, as well as being a Super Bowl 22 champion with Washington. Wayne was an occasional TTMer, you know, kind of there in the mid-range of response rates there. Wayne Wilson was 66 years old.
It's always nice to have a week where the Vern Rapp Minute is a little bit lighter than some of the others. We've had a few that have gone on for quite a while. So nice to see that it's a fairly light week this week. And of course, if you lost anyone, our thoughts are with you as always. And with that, let's take a look at our TTM returns.
Was our mailbox full this week? Let's take a look at this week's TTM returns.
Well, Troy, from looking at the list here, it looks like it's a fairly light week for both of us here. So, yeah, I got it. Like I was saying early on in the show, that I think I've got to crank out a few more because ever since I got back from spring training, I've been sitting here going, yeah, I need to, I need to keep to my 10 a week here. And I was like, well, now I need to do 20 because I didn't do any last week. And now I'm at, I got to do 30 this weekend. So try to get on top of this. But hopefully I'll send out some more here soon and we'll have some more successes. But I'll go ahead and give a quick rundown of the four that I got in this week. It's been not exactly heavy on the football, but two of them were football, one hockey, and one basketball. First one I got back was Wendell Davis. He was a wide receiver for the Bears back in the early 90s. Guy who had a, looked like he was going to have a great career ahead of him, and then in an unfortunate incident with the really terrible turf in Veterans Stadium, I think it was either in Veterans Stadium or it was in Soldier Field for the time when they had turf there, but either way, he ended up getting both of his cleats caught in the turf and just tore the hell out of the ligaments in both knees at the same time. It just pretty much ended his career. He tried to make a comeback, played in the preseason a couple years later, but just couldn't make it after that. He's been involved in coaching now, though, lately, coaching wide receivers at a college. I forget exactly which one, but still involved in football today, and he signed four cards for me in about a month or so. Got back Joe Riki. Riki was a defenseman, if I remember right, for several teams, most notably the Islanders. I know he spent quite a few years there, Islanders and Capitals, I think, as well, but he signed four cards for me in about maybe 2 to 4 weeks or so. I got back Tom Sanders, Satch Sanders on his rookie card. That's a Hall of Famer right there from the basketball world, played for the Celtics for a long time. But I picked up his rookie card for cheap a few, what is this, about maybe a year and a half ago. Dropped in the mail, sent it off to him. I think a $10, I've seen people send anywhere from nothing to $10. And if you send the 10 bucks, you're more likely to get him to add on a whole bunch of inscriptions. And so I think if I remember right, I tossed in $10. But I'll show you here, Troy. You can see hopefully what I got back right there. Absolutely loaded that one up with says Tom Satch Sanders, Celtics number 16, Hall of Fame 2011, 8X NBA champ, all put on there. So
wow,
super happy to get that back. And it took a while, too, because, I mean, I got it a year and a half ago, and I sent it on – it's actually on New Year's Eve of 2022 that I mailed it back. So a year and 4 months to get to me, but, I mean, it's another Hall of Famer rookie card there, loaded up with inscriptions. Always happy to add those in. And the last one I got was another football one, Martin Mayhew, who now works in the Washington front office. I think he might be like GM or assistant GM. I know he's had a couple of GM spots here recently, but he signed four cards for me in about a month as well. So light week, but some really cool stuff coming in there. Troy, what do you got for yours?
Yeah, it's kind of a broken record for me because I keep saying I'm going to get some addressed and get out there, but I just haven't found time to do it. This is going to be the weekend, though, that I'm going to put out a few more. So
nice.
Pretty much my sole return this week was Mark Kerrion. So he signed two cards, pretty nice. Those were five. I have it marked down as 547 days. I half think that maybe I sent these out though in January with all the other ones that I was doing. Uh-huh. But I'm going with the 547 since that is what my request says. But you know, I really like the 90s upper decks. They're really bright and have a nice shine and take pen really well. You know, Mark had some legal problems there in the late 90s, early 2000s, but happy to get that back in and hopefully get some more in here soon. I got, like I've said in previous shows, I got some basketball that I'm sending out as well as some baseball. And I have the old sorting board out to go through some of the some of the cards I haven't sorted because I like doing them by name rather than by team or whatever, so I can get to those fairly quickly when I want to get a particular player. So
is it one of those big the big plastic black sorting trays that you got going on there or something else?
I do have one of the BCW sorting trays. Sometimes I only have one of those, so if I'm sorting something else, I also have these. I did a video about it about 10 years ago. One that I make with just poster board, and I just put labels for the teams on it. And so I used to have one for every sport with the teams on them. And so I go A through G on the first row and H to R and S to Z. There's a whole system to it.
Oh yeah.
But then football, I always did oddly enough by team, and I'm not sure why I did that. Maybe it was just easier at the time, but now I'm all by last name. So yeah, I got one of those flimsy ones that you have to put on a thing of poster board, or you're going to dump it if you try to move it. And then I have a couple poster boards with just labels on them, and those work pretty well.
Yeah. It's always interesting seeing like different methods of sorting there like that, because just like, you know, different methods of organization for in-person stuff there, because I always do mine. I've got one of those BCW sorting trays there as well, which it's good, but it only you've only got like, what, 24 spaces on there. So, I mean, that works all. It actually works pretty well for alphabetically, because, I mean, you don't have very many X last names out there, for example, and not a whole lot of Z's either, or Q's. So you can always knock out a couple of those. But, yeah, I mean, it works usually pretty well for that kind of stuff. And I'm with you. I usually do all mine alphabetically, too. I have A through E, F through J, K through O, P through T, and then U through Z are my like five categories, essentially, on there. And
right.
Whichever one has M in it usually ends up filling up like three times as fast as any of the other ones there. Just about.
You've noticed that, too.
Yes. Martin, Martinez, Mick, whatever. Yes. Yep. Matthews. There's so many of those in there. Yep. So, but yeah, it's always interesting just seeing, you know, how everyone organizes theirs. And yeah, I'm an alphabetical by player typically as well for mine.
Yeah, I'm currently, like I said, going through a bunch of stuff that I've bought over the past, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, and some of it's sorted, some of it isn't. But I'm also in the middle of a complete Star Trek series rewatch, so I like sorting while having something on the TV where I could kind of half pay attention. I could count it as a rewatch if I just kind of look up every now and then, I think. Yeah. So
you can at least listen to the dialogue there easily while you're doing it. So yeah.
Exactly.
Well, there you go. I think that's we're about ready to put a wrap on this one. So thanks again for tuning in, everybody. Troy, thanks for getting on here with us. And of course, a big thanks to Jason Hines for joining us during the Collector's Corner segment. Don't forget, next week we're going to have Les Wolf on, so make sure you get anything that you want appraised in. Right now, I think we've only gotten one item in so far, so people, if you're listening, have Les take a look at your stuff. You know, he can tell you what it's worth. He can tell you if it's authentic. I've got one that I might even, if we don't get any more, I'm going to have to break out this one ball that I've got here, and I'll talk a little bit more about it if we have him on, if I end up having to do it for this week's show, but it's kind of just a evidence of why you need to make sure that you have the right ball for anything you do. So I'll hopefully have a chance to talk about that with him at some point there. But yeah, get stuff in for Les for next week's show. A couple weeks from now, we're going to do another Graffer DIY segment, I think, as well. So Troy, any other thoughts before we sign off here for the week?
Even though I won't be here next week, I might have to send in a scan of that George Brett to get his initial take on that.
There you go. Yeah, that would work. Definitely do that. So once again, everybody, thanks for tuning in. And a big thanks, of course, to Ruthie Baker for putting everything together for us here, doing all of the production work on the show. And again, we'll see you next week. Wishing you many happy returns in the meantime. We'll see you around.
Hey, everyone, be good.